is Joy's Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
So here we are, a week after Easter, is that right? Seems like Easter was years ago. So I bet you didn't realize how biblical you were, that you did after Easter exactly what Peter did after Easter. He went to work. There's a story at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21. It's been some time after the resurrection. And Peter turns to some of the other disciples and says, I'm going fishing. And so they go with him. And there on the beach in that early morning, they have an encounter with the risen Lord. The passage of Peter is really about Peter's forgiveness and reinstatement as a disciple. And it's a moment when his work as a fisherman shifts to being a fisher of men. He steps into his role as an apostle. But I want this morning and over the next few weeks, I want to tie our life as Easter people in the resurrection to our work. That is, so we'll launch into a short series here titled Redeeming Work. With that, I want to bring you back to those early days in your life when you were asked that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Was a question that sparked imagination, excitement, curiosity. Maybe you said, I want to be a doctor, or a fireman, or a teacher. My guess is most of you didn't say you wanted to be a pastor. I didn't say that either. It's a question that connects to who we are. What do you want to be when you grow up? We don't realize in the moment because we're much too young, but it's a question that goes right to the core of who we are. And it eventually gets answered in something that we do. So that what we become is something that we do. For instance, people ask me what I do. I'm a pastor. You might answer it with, I'm an engineer or a nurse or a computer programmer. There's a thousand ways to answer that question. And our relationship to work and our identity is more of a journey, a pilgrimage that takes shape over our life cycle. For instance, when we're young and small and people are trying to inspire us, say, well, what do you want to be? You could be anything you want. We move on and by the time we get to high school and we're getting ready to graduate, we're like, oh, what do I want to be? I don't know. There's too many options. It becomes stressful. Then we go to college. We're supposed to be trained in order to do something when we get out. And we sometimes leave that era excited, but also apprehensive. You move on, you develop competency in your job or your career. Then you hit that place in midlife where you're like, okay, you come to grips with, this is who I am. This is what my contribution will be. And then how does my life work translate when I'm no longer being paid for what I used to do? Our work, our vocation, however you want to call it, either at home or in the home or outside the home, That thing that we do shapes the circumstances and rhythms of our lives. And yet, there seems to be a big gap between what happens on Sunday and Monday. How does our faith play into our work life? How do we bridge that divide between faith and work? Is it possible to redeem our view of work and experience God's and experience that work as God's primary location for living out our faith? Just a little clarification here before we get too further in. The vocabulary of work is pretty broad. And I'm trying to use this in both a broad and a narrow sense. A broad sense in that it encompasses anything and everything that you do, whether you get paid for it or not, that you expire energy towards, that blesses God's world. Some of us have jobs that we do simply to get us through and provide for our household. Others have careers which have a kind of a job with a trajectory and a pathway. Some of us have vocations or callings. One of the things I hope to address over the next couple of weeks, probably next week, Lord willing, is this idea of calling and the false dichotomy between sacred and secular callings. When I became a minister, one of the first things I had to do was to articulate my calling. It's like, okay. My guess is most of you don't do that when you apply for a job. They say, well, why are you called to? Maybe there's some form of that. But I think it's a false dichotomy between pastors being called to a particular role or work and you being called to a particular job or vocation. But the vocabulary can get confusing, but hopefully we'll sort that out. We work for a variety of reasons. We work for money. We work because we find the work itself is engaging. Some of us work because it gives us a sense of autonomy over our particular environment or organization. Some of us work for the opportunity to learn new things and to grow and the challenges that come from that. We work for the interaction and camaraderie with our coworkers. We work because it provides a source of meaning and we want to make a difference in the world wherever we are. All good and positive reasons for working, but we also, I bet, before very early in our long in our career, experience there's a dark side to work, where it can become monotonous and meaningless and in some cases soul-draining. Work, however you define it, dominates our life. And getting it right is essential to being fully alive. So work, I want you to hold this perspective in your mind, that work, from a biblical point of view, is the contribution that we make to the common good for God's glory. We can expand and flesh that out a little bit, but work, from a biblical point of view, is the contribution that we make to the common good for God's glory. And you might get paid for that, and you might not. In the pages of Scripture, Robin read for us, obviously that's where the Scriptures begin, with work. Page 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void and empty, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, let there be, and there was. we have there in the opening, God, the Creator, Elohim. We have the Spirit hovering above the chaos. And we have the Word spoken by God, the Trinity at work in the world, creating. The Hebrew word translated created could also be translated fashioned or shaped or built, all in the context of craftsmanship. So God created. He spoke and it came to be. On the sixth day, God created the crown jewel of all of his work, all of his creation was humanity. And he said this, let us make mankind in our own image. So God created them. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth and subdue it. To be created in the image of God is to be created to work. In the ancient Near East, Mesopotamia, kings and rulers would set up images of themselves in remote territories of their kingdom as a reminder to the citizens of those areas that this area, this geographical space is under the rule of this particular king. Be careful how you tread here. When God created you in his image, he did so that you, wherever you were, you would be a representative of his government of this particular place in the world. Image conveys the idea of essence that reflects the attributes of the original. The role of the image bearer is to reflect God's glory and his rule in the world. Humanity was created as image bearers, to be governors and stewards over the greater creation. There is this word here where God says, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. This word here, subdue, sometimes gets a bad rap, and it is in other contexts used negatively, like in dominate and trample. But the more common use of the word is to bring under your influence and control. When God says, subdue the earth, he is saying, bring all of my creation under your influence and control. Eugene Peterson translates it this way, God blessed them and said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. That was the sixth day. On the seventh day, Scripture tells us that God actually finished his work. So all of creation was God's work. And God blessed it the seventh day and made it holy because he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So what's the point? That God's original design included workers who would reflect his rule in the world. And it's easy, regardless of what vocation or role or job you're in, whether it's bus driver or pastor, to forget that God's intent for your work is to reflect who he is, to reflect his creativity. That his original design included workers, and to work is what it means to be a bearer of God's image. God and joining God, to work means to bear his image, and to join him in the ongoing care for the common good of his creation, regardless of whether we're paid for it or not. One of the challenges for us is that we often take our identity from our work. What do you do? How successful are you? How competent are you in that role? But God's intent was that based on our identity as His image bearers, that we would give dignity to our work rather than the other way around. It's a subtle reversal, but it changes everything. So God intended that work be part of bearing His image. Work can be frustrating as well as rewarding. It can be dehumanizing, or it can fill us with a sense of dignity and worth. It can improve and enhance our life, or it can be a source of exploitation. It shapes us, it shapes our family, and it shapes the world. Work has a dark side. Consider the preacher from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. What does man get from all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days' work is pain and grief. Even night his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. Not a very happy portrait of work. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This, too, I see is from the hand of God, for without Him, who can eat and find enjoyment? Work can be frustrating and aggravating. We were away at a funeral and waiting for our flight. I noticed two ticket agents. We were at the airport very early in the morning, and there's these two people, about the same age. One was happy and exuberant and outgoing and eager and helpful, and the other one was just kind of grumpy. And I wondered, what's the difference between these two individuals? Maybe one had a really long commute or wasn't feeling well or was annoyed that the other guy was so happy. Who knows what made the difference? But there they were, two individuals at the same job, at the same time, in the same place, with the same responsibilities, probably the same supervisors. And one had a totally different experience of the same work day. One recent survey showed that most of us work more than 40 hours a week. That the 40-hour work week is a thing of the past. Another showed that 90% of workers are either not engaged or actively disengaged from their jobs. Let me give you that again. 90% of workers are either not engaged, they're sitting there grumpy and not doing what they should do, or they're actively disengaged, that is, they're resisting the work. Think about it. That's 9 out of 10 of us spend a huge chunk of our waking lives doing things that we don't want to do in places we don't particularly want to be. Work needs redeeming. It should also cue you in that, we envy people who have this job and not this job, and nobody seems happy in their work. But Christ comes to redeem all of life, including our work. In chapter 3, there is the judgment that comes on humanity, on the serpent for their disobedience, for taking from eating the fruit of the tree of good and evil, of knowledge of good and evil. And when humanity did that, they decided that they would become the reference point for what is good and what is right instead of God. And there were consequences for that. And one of the consequences was that the ground would be cursed. Listen to how it's written for us in Genesis 3. And God is speaking to Adam. Because you ate of the fruit of the tree of which I commanded you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat the fruit from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Now here's the kicker, verse 19. And by the sweat of the brow, you will eat food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. You see the connection between our toil and our death? That there is this intimate connection between the two, that which God created us for now becomes a contradiction of our very identity as God's people. But God, in Christ, takes on the human experience. That God, in Jesus, sanctifies all of life, including our work life. The very fact that God would enter our world and experience life as we experience, with all of its trials and tribulations and pains and aches and joys and celebrations, sanctifies humanity's life in a material world. Not only that our God of creation then enters into the world in the person of Christ, and he spends the majority of his life working. First, as a laborer, an apprentice, as his father, as a carpenter shop. He spends just a small portion of his life doing what we would consider the spiritual stuff. The rest of it is work. That should be a cue to us that there's value and dignity in work itself. But Jesus also viewed his ministry as work. My Father is always at work, and to this day, I too am working. It was a reference to his coming to bring redemption on the earth. And Jesus, in his life, his death, and his resurrection, he comes to redeem not just our souls, but our bodies and all that we do with them. The consequences of sin, which is death, leads to hostility in our relationship with God and each other and with the ground, in our work. Redemption, properly understood, brings Jesus into all of life. Last week, I talked about the resurrection is changing everything. When Jesus died and came back to life, it wasn't just to redeem our souls, but to redeem our identity as image bearers, which is to reflect the God who creates and who works in the world. The redemption that Christ brings is applied not just to our soul, but the whole created order, which Paul tells us groans along with us until the restoration of the new heavens and the new earth. The resurrection highlights that what you do in your body matters, both ethically, right? We got that one? Can you say ethically? I can't. Morally. Anyways, as well as vocationally. Our life on earth wasn't just meant to fill time and space. but rather to join in God's creative work in extending his reign in the world. God put humanity, man and woman, in the garden to care for it and to protect it. Those are two terms that we later see played out in the scriptures as the temple and the tabernacle is built. But they appear again, for those of you who were in our resurrection or our Revelation series, at the restoration of all things when there is a new heaven and a new earth. We are called a kingdom of priests, of governors and priests to serve and to care for the new heaven. You might not like what I'm about to say. When God restores heaven and earth, you're going to have a job. You're going to have creative work to do in the new heaven and the new earth, because it's part and parcel of who we are as image bearers of God. God created us to work. Work has a dark side. Jesus comes to redeem our work. And when we work, we cooperate with God in the transformation of the work of the world. Think about it for a moment. When God blesses you, he does so through the work of others. When we're sick, we experience the healing of doctors, nurses, PAs, lab technicians, hospital custodians. We are blessed with the ability to read and write because we have been taught by people who work as teachers. God blesses us each week through music, right? The people who work. There are mechanics and plumbers and firefighters and industrial designers and who bring products into the world for better living. There are There are people who deliver the mail. There are librarians and people who stock shelves. Each part of God's blessing to the rest of us. Even so, even while we are blessed by their work, they may not be blessed by their work, right? That in doing their work, they may suffer from long hours and low pay and stress-filled lives with frustration. It may not be meaningful or rewarding to them. They may feel undervalued and pressured to do more and more and more. It may keep them from being with their families as they work long hours and travel a long distance. But the truth is that their work blesses us. Work is an integral part of being human. It's an essential aspect of loving God and his created world. It's a vital part of what it means to love our neighbor. So given all that, I want to challenge you as you go to work tomorrow, whatever context that is for you. And work, remember, is any energy we expire towards a contribution to the greater good. Raising kids is work. Hard work. There's all kinds of work that people do that is either paid, compensated, or not compensated. And I want to include all of that in this conversation. But whatever it is, as you go to that tomorrow, can you view work as the context, the primary context for your discipleship, where God is going to shape you more into his image? We spend so much of our energy and our lives in this arena called work. How could it not be a place of redemption? The reformer Martin Luther emphasized that God hides himself in the workplace. That most people seek God in the mystical experience and spectacular miracles and extraordinary acts that they are around them. But to find him, to find God in vocation, brings him, God, literally down to earth and makes us see how close he really is to us and transfigures everyday life. As you go into your work this week, just tuck this idea that this is part of what it means to be human. Now, I know some of you are like, yeah, but you don't know my job, right? You don't know my boss. You don't know my coworkers. I get that. I really get that. But nonetheless, I think Jesus is there. And he has something for you. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is, in a couple of weeks, in conjunction with this series, I'm going to launch a six-week small group experience titled Redeeming Work. But I'm going to do that, the format's going to be a little different. I want to pull something from the work world and see if it works for us. And so it'll be a six-week small group. And if you're interested, you can contact me either by email or call the office or just talk to me afterwards. So we'll meet once or twice face-to-face, and the rest of the conversation will take via video conferencing, so that because you have such busy lives, you'll be able to plug into this group without adding the commute into one location for that. So I'd like to try that out, see how that works as a new format for us. But in any case, God created them, male and female, to fill the earth and to bring it under his influence. Jesus was raised from the dead to give life to our mortal bodies. Will he not also give life to us in work? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. To find out more, check us out at storeschurch.org.